Thank you. Well, good morning, my friends. Glad to be with you today. As we are together, as we are apart, I'm glad to be with you. Today's talk, as you saw it in publicized in different places, says move in, be civil, hold hands. I've adopted this from the book that we've been teaching from this month in our Wednesday night class called Braving the Wilderness by Brené Brown. But what I'd like to do is give you the full title of the chapters from which I've been teaching for today's talk. People are hard to hate close up. Move in. Speak truth to a word I can't say in church. I'll abbreviate it. Speak truth to BS. Be civil. Hold hands with strangers. So move in, be civil, hold hands. And today's talk is especially relevant because we don't have the opportunity to do those three things the way we're used to doing them. So what I'm going to do is start with the end of this talk first, and then bring everything else to catch up with it. So here is what I would say at the end, but I'm going to start with it. It's important for us to be able to live in community with each other. It's important for us to feel like we're part of a village. And sociological and psychological studies have backed this up, that it's better for us when we're not living in a vacuum or in isolation. One of the most well-respected researchers in this area is Susan Pinker. In her book, The Village Effect, How Face-to-Face Contact Can Make Us Healthier and Happier, Pinker writes, in a short evolutionary time, we have changed from group-living primates skilled at reading each other's every gesture and intention to a solitary species, each one of us preoccupied with our own screen. Based on studies across diverse fields, Pinker concludes that there is no substitute for in-person interactions. They are proven to bolster our immune system, send positive hormones surging through our bloodstream and veins and brain, and help us live longer. Pinker adds, I call this building your village, and building it is a matter of life or death. Well, that's kind of tough, isn't it? When we're not able to be with our village and have that in-person contact with each other. And I know that we're all feeling the strain from that. I know other minister friends of mine are as weary as I am of not being able to be with our congregation. And so that's why I keep emphasizing the fact that when we're in this time of being apart from each other physically, we're now being called to a spiritual challenge that's probably bigger than anything we've had in our lives. We're called to have that contact with each other in a different way, in ways that are not face-to-face. And FaceTime and Skype and Zoom and telemedicine is not the same. We all know this. It's not the same, but it's the best that we've got. And so we have our little bubbles that we live in, and hopefully we can continue to move toward a safer country if we treat each other with respect and respect the bubble that we're living in and respect the larger bubble of humanity so that we can protect each other. And I will stand for that because that is a matter of common sense to me. Let's look out for each other. Let's keep our distance. Let's wear a mask. Let's wash our hands. Let's do all those things that we're supposed to be doing. So that is one part of how we maintain our community with other people. But in order to have that village that's so close to us, we have to reach out not only in spoken or seen through a screen kind of way, or maybe even outdoor distance visiting with each other. More importantly, we're called to communicate with each other through spirit. I don't know about you, but I have had a lot of instances in the last few months in which I have been thinking about someone and then I hear from them. Or I've been thinking about someone and I get in touch with them and I find out that something's been going on in their lives. The same thing has happened the other way around. I've gotten communications from people who've been thinking about me. I've been on their minds and then they get in touch with me to find out how I'm doing. So that's one way that we can be in touch with each other. I'm going to call it even telepathically. And so these antenna, these spiritual antenna that we have, we're having to kind of dust those off and tune them up and figure out ways to communicate with each other unspoken through prayer, through confidence that when we extend a generous, loving, kind, concerned, compassionate thought, if we feel that urge pushing forward out of us to another, we can be in confidence that that is received. And so we're called to have this village in ways that we've never been called to do that before. And lucky for us, we have our spiritual orientation so that this is not completely an unknown skill. And this is my own unscientific idea. The people that are suffering the most right now are those who do not have a way. They have not yet discovered that way of unspoken communication. And in doing so, sometimes put themselves at risk by being with others in a way that's not necessarily safe. And unfortunately, the infection toll in the country and the death toll in the country continues to rise. So, it's so important that we find ways to move in with each other, to be civil with each other, and to hold hands with each other, even when we can't do it physically. Now, I hope that you read your newsletter this week when it came out, because one of the ways that we've been communicating with each other a lot is through social media. And I wrote a letter that had some gentle guidelines for you, some suggestions that I really hope you follow about how to be on social media with each other in a way in which we move in, a way in which we're civil, a way in which we hold hands. Because social media can become a way that we think we're insulated from the world and we do things on social media that we wouldn't do in person. We see things on social media that we'd be appalled if that was happening right in front of us. And it's so easy for us to get triggered and get engaged. And then we lose our intimacy, we lose our civility, we lose our ability to be connected to one another. So that's just one of the things. So this week in the newsletter, if you haven't read it already, go to our app or go to the website and read the newsletter article that I wrote, not only for my article, but for all the other things that are going on in our community, in which I suggest that we not shut off our spiritual selves when we get on social media. So what is suggested, and I'm especially appreciative of having this book right now by Brené Brown, because she gives us so many ways that we can begin to listen to each other and find out what other people are thinking with a sincere desire to know what they're thinking. There's one thing to say, I'm curious as to why this is important to you. She says, the intention is the deepest level reason why the topic is so important to a person. We have to understand what truly matters to us and to learn why a topic is so important to the other person as well. For example, two family members may bitterly disagree about the planning of a family event. What is the underlying intention? And how do we break through that? I don't know about you, but I shared with you last week that I'm the oldest of five children, and it was easy for me to be the boss of my siblings. I've spent a long, long time in my adult life correcting that. It's important that we begin to soften the edges around our need to be right. It's important that we don't get so engaged in our stance about the truth of us that we close ourselves off to what other people are saying. So there's a way for us to say, tell me more. I'd like to know what it is you're really thinking. Now, you may get a response that isn't given to you with as much of a civil nature in which you ask the question. But it's the way that we can move in closer to other people rather than building a wall around ourselves that says, oh, this is where I live. And so you're outside there and I'm inside here, so sorry. And that's called polarity, that's called insulation, that's called being in your echo chamber, and it's certainly not called moving in toward other people. So you know when you're going through your social media, if you do that, I know a lot of people have just abandoned it altogether. But if you do that, or if you're having that telephone conversation with somebody with whom you disagree, breathe into the fact that there's another human being on the other side of this transaction, no matter how it's happening, and listen. Not the kind of listening where you're creating your counter response while they're talking. Oops. We can do that, can't we? We shut off part of what's listening so that we have a response, for as soon as they stop talking, we're going to shoot it out there and tell them where they're wrong. This is high-level spiritual living. Because the easy path is to say us and them. So it's important that we try to dissolve those boundaries as much as we can. And I am so gratified that I see a lot of my friends saying, wow, I know that I've been very vocal about my views. But what I want you to know is that no matter what, I love you. And even through our differences, there is something bigger than us. If you have a chance, and if you're reading the book, Viola Davis, there's an interview with her, the actress Viola Davis. And so she wants to share everything she can with her daughter so that her daughter has a chance to be able to live as authentic a life as she can. And so here's what she says. She says, "This is who I am. This is where I'm from. This is my mess. And this is what it means to belong to myself." Because to not do that means that we're living in our fear. And our fear sometimes comes out as anger and separation. And sometimes along with that fear is some hurt. And along with that hurt is some sadness. So it's important for us to examine our motives so that we can move in closer to other people. We don't want to beat other people up with our fear, hurt, and sadness, which will come across as separation. So that's the challenge. Move in. And beloved, I am not telling you to go out there and pick a fight. If you walk out there and say, "Okay, I'm ready to hear what you have to say about this. I don't agree with you, so I want to hear what your point of view is." I'm not suggesting that approach, because you'll get back more of this. You'll get back more of this. So there's more of an approach like this. See the difference in my posture? Standing on my 2 feet, anchored on the earth, my hands open, ready to listen. And it's been very sweet to be able to have those kind of transactions with people and know that we can disagree. And it's not just, "Okay, we're agreeing to disagree." But more like, "Beloved, this is who you are, this is who I am, and we still love each other." That's what moving in is about. Now, the next chapter to the story is to speak truth to things that appear to not be necessarily accurate, and to be willing to have that spoken to us. Ew. Because, I'm just going to say this, you know, we're all BSers. We all have our own little stories, and sometimes we have our little white lies. Or sometimes when we don't know what something really is, we just kind of make up an answer that sounds good. Yeah, that's BS. Don't kid yourself into thinking, "Well, that might be true, so I'm going to say it." But if you're going to call somebody out on what they're saying, ask for, where did you hear that? Can you give me the background on that? Because I'm really curious about what the basis is for that. So you can be civil in your disagreement. Folks, this is hard work for us, because with our in-person interactions, the way we used to have them, in that time that feels kind of surreal now, doesn't it? It's hard to believe that just a few months ago we were all just in the same room with each other. The stage was crowded with people. And so now we don't have the luxury of just laughing off our differences or saying, "Man, I don't get that at all," and just walking away and deciding that that person is no longer a close part of your life. It requires us to say, "You know, that doesn't sound right to me, but I'd like to hear more about what you're having to say." And be willing to have people ask us the same thing. So if you don't know something and you've kind of made up something that sounds like it's right, it sounds like it's good, it sounds like it could be true, be ready for somebody to say, oh, where did you, can you tell me more about your source on that? And then be willing to say, ah, I just kind of made it up. You know, there's a funny phrase that I heard years ago. I didn't make it up. But it's called, it's about somebody having a degree called an MSU. And the polite way to say it is, make stuff up. So if you're going to be making stuff up, be ready for people to call you on it. If you hear stuff that sounds made up, be ready to call somebody on it, but not as a challenge. Not as a challenge, my friends. A gentle and firm curiosity. There's a big difference. You know what Jesus did all the time? He didn't run away from those who disagreed with him. He asked them questions. Even when he was out in the wilderness and the devil, Satan, was trying to tempt him not to be who he was, he engaged. He didn't run away. He didn't hide. Lots of hiding places. But you know, the devil is devil's inside. The one that would have us make something up, the one that would have us dismiss another, the one that would say, you know, it's easier just to take the low road. Just blah, say whatever you're going to say. But Jesus engaged with the devil in the scriptures. He engaged with Pharisees who questioned him on everything. And even Pilate. When he was coming down to the last days of his life, Pilate's like, who are you? And Jesus said, well, who do you think I am? He left that responsibility in the hands of the questioner. And so don't be afraid to say, oh, what is it that makes you think that? What evidence? Have I harmed you? Have I given you evidence? So that's a way for us to be civil and to be real and to kind of start it to eliminate the BS factor from our lives. The last part of the lesson today is about holding hands with strangers. And I'll tell you, we've had a lot of things in the last 20 years that have caused us to hold hands with strangers. And it's usually disasters or amazing things. One of the things that I can think of, and there's a documentary out right now about the Challenger space shuttle that came apart within a minute and a half of its launch. There's a documentary on Netflix about it, and it's a time in which we all drew together in our sadness back in 1986. And Brené Brown writes about being on a highway screw-up in Houston. And so she writes about driving. And suddenly people were pulling over on the side of the road or stopping in the middle of their lanes. And she passed a pickup, and a man was leaned over his steering wheel weeping. Because down around Houston and around the NASA community there, there was a kinship there and a pride about NASA. And so when that space shuttle came apart and those seven astronauts were lost, six astronauts and a teacher, when that was lost, people were devastated. And she said, as people started to drive again, they all turned on their headlights as they drove down that highway, as though it were a funeral. And in that moment, people were holding hands with strangers. It happened again on 9/11. And it's happening right now. Internally, spiritually, we should be holding hands with the whole world. Because we have too many people that have lost too many people. And so we need each other. We need to know that hands are being held. And so every day, we should let our heart break open a little bit, like I talked about last week. We should let our hearts break open a little bit for the next hundreds or thousands that were lost in that day. For their families, for the people who love them. And that's just one part of what's going on in humanity. There are people losing their homes in California, and thousands and thousands of acres burning up. But we also have sweet things like one of our beloved church families who has a 5-month-old baby. And she is very generous about posting pictures of that sweet baby girl. And I see from our comments and all the little hearts on those posts how much we celebrate that little life and how much we look forward to being able to bless her in person when we come back together. We all hold hands in joy. We all share the joy of seeing wildlife emerging, listening to wildlife, seeing things that we don't always have the opportunity to see because we're quieter as humans. And so the natural world is more, it's closer to us. Unfortunately, I've been seeing more scorpions. One of the not pleasant parts of nature, feeling more free to roam. But you know, I've also heard more screech owls and seen more hummingbirds. And they're migrating again, so it's beautiful. And just this Friday, we lost one of the pillars of American society. And so we're joining together in our grief over losing her and celebrating everything that she brought to enrich American life, to enrich the lives of women. She stood up and called out the BS when nobody else would. And you know I'm talking about Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It doesn't matter which side of the political fence you're on. This was an amazing woman. This was a trailblazer. This was a woman who was absolutely belonging to herself. From her very young life as one of the few women in her law school class. And she died on Rosh Hashanah. And as a Jewish woman, there's a special designation. And I'd like to share that. I reposted something about that on Facebook. And it just went away. Hang on just a moment. I'd like to read a little bit of something that was posted by Molly Conway because she is Jewish. The proper thing to say about her passing is, may her memory be for blessing. And Molly Conway wanted to give a little bit more of an explanation of what that's about. A person who passes on Rosh Hashanah is a tzedek, or tzedeket. That's a female. And it's about charity, it's about righteousness. But when we say that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a tzedek, I'm sorry, I am not a Hebrew speaker. Tzedeket, the feminine form of tzedek. We don't just mean she was a nice person. What we're saying is that she was a thoughtful person who worked tirelessly to create a more just world, one that would perpetuate equality and access, one that wasn't reliant on charity, one that was better for people she did not know without the expectation of praise or fame. That is what it means to be a tzedek. Kali, I'm sorry, a tzedeket. And I can't think of anyone who better embodies the pursuit of justice. When we say, may our memory be for blessing, the blessing we speak of is not, may we remember her fondly, or may her memory be a blessing to us. The blessing implied is this, may you be like Ruth. Jewish thought teaches us that when a person dies, it is up to those who bear her memory to keep her goodness alive. We do this by remembering her. We do this by speaking her name. We do this by carrying on her legacy. We do this by continuing to pursue justice, righteousness, sustainability. So when you hear, may her memory be for blessing, don't hear, it's nice to remember her. Here, it's up to us to carry on her legacy. When you hear us say, she was a tzedeket, there I did it. Don't hear, she was a nice person. Hear, she was a worker of justice. May her memory be for blessing. May her memory be for revolution. May we become a credit to her name. So rest in peace, righteous one. And thank you for giving us the example of righteousness and justice and equality, no matter where we stand, no matter our gender, no matter our politics. Thank you to this little powerhouse of a woman. May we carry on her memory by doing what she did, by doing good for others, without expectation of return, by moving in closer to people, by being civil, by holding hands, by working for the higher good of all of us. So I know how much we would like to be close to the people that we love, to our community, to our village. And because this is upon us, we are and we will be stronger. We have everything in us to maintain our village and, yay, to make it stronger and deeper and richer. As we begin our meditation today, I'm going to ask you to hold the world, again, in your hands, if you will, whatever way is comfortable for you, your hand over your heart. Your hand is that bowl that holds the world. Just take everything that is important to you, everything, and enclose it in that perfect shape, that circle. And while we can't touch each other, we can reach out our hands to each other. And we do this on Wednesday nights in our class. We extend our hands of blessing to each other and to everyone who watches, and to those who don't. We need to see each other's hands and faces because it's what we've got right now. And so, everyone for whom we pray today, our meditation is not just for us. It helps us. It's vital to us. But we cannot pray for ourselves without praying for all. So breathe. And you might notice as you breathe in deeply, your heart aches a little bit because there's so much to breathe in. Yes, our loneliness, our isolation, our boredom, our irritation, our disorientation. But as that heart aches, know that that ache is also what designates to us. It informs us that the heart is also open to the healing that's provided by Spirit. For if we cannot embrace our hurt, our sorrow, our sadness, our fear, our anger, our uncertainty, if we cannot embrace those, then how shall they be transformed? We bring them into our hearts, we acknowledge them, and we let the healing work of God be done. For certainly, we are never not with God. We are always in the presence of Spirit, whether we feel it or acknowledge it. We are always in the presence of Spirit. Don't be afraid to feel it all, beloved. Don't try to numb it away. You will not break, for you are God's very own. And there is a strength and a power and a faith and a will and a wisdom and all that truth that is always working in us. So let it be. Keep breathing. And if you will, just extend your hand. Doesn't matter if you're listening now or if you're listening later, next week, next month. Time and space have no relevance in the world of spirit. Extend your hand to embrace all others and know that it will be received. Know that your village has you and you have it. Breathe. In breath and out breath. In and out. Like the waves of the ocean. Like the sunset and the sunrise. The pull of the tides on the moon, the pull of the moon on the tides, dance. That is our breath. That is our connection to spirit and to each other. Today especially, we hold those in our community that are aching or ill or in pain. Beloved, know that you have done holy work this morning, especially in this meditation, you have done holy work. And I open my eyes to look upon your beautiful hearts. And everything else that we have not yet let go of, we let it go now. For all is well, and you are doing fine. And so it is.